Well, did you come for church as normal, or did you come for something extraordinary today? Because I am not your typical everyday pastor, teaches and pastor. I'm a reverend, but I just don't teach like everybody else teaches, and that's kind of the wonderful thing about the body of Christ. Well, I know that pastor has been talking about breaking free. And, you know, we always need a few illustrations to help that along here. But you see, I walk around. Oh, I forgot something else. Breaking free. Jeremy, you didn't sing that song today, and I was hoping that you would. I am free to run. I am free to run. I am free. I am free, I am free to live for you. This is kind of what it looks like. I am free to live for you. I am free, oh, I am free. I am free to run. Do I look like I'm free to run? I am free to dance. Well, maybe I need to have my balls and chains on there. I can dance. But that's what it's like, is we live life just like this, and we don't even recognize it. And we do come to church, and we sing those songs. I am free. Strongholds are broken. We sang about that. My eyes are opened. You know, we sang about all of those things in our songs today, but we don't see these things. Now, when I was here last Sunday and Pastor Shane was talking about breaking free, I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, I don't have any major addictions. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I don't smoke. I don't do a lot of those things. And I thought, does this really apply to me? And then I remember that Jesus was talking to a group that kind of thought the same thing in John chapter 8. And Jesus was trying to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the group of people that he was talking about said, we're not in bondage. What are you talking about? We are not in bondage. Well, maybe you don't struggle today with alcoholism or cigarette smoking or gambling or those type of things, but I had to take a little bit deeper look at myself in preparing for today. Are you ready? Now, so remember, as I'm teaching, I'm really talking about me, not about you. But if you want to join in and maybe see yourself, okay. All right. I will. Thank you. You see that these chains didn't just happen. One day it started out with just a link. One little link. And that link was our thoughts. You see, everything revolves around our thoughts and how we think. In the Bible, over and over and over again, Paul talks about in the New Testament, about in 2 Corinthians, about that we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. He talks about in Romans chapter 12 that we are to renew our mind. That he talks about in Philippians 4:8, he says, think on things that are pure and lovely and honest and a virtue. If there be anything, then think on these things. But you see, everything that we do begins with a thought. How you feel. Now, I encourage you because I believe as I'm teaching this that this is very prophetic, especially for the last days as Christians. Because you see, our warfare is inside. It's something that you and I can't see. Amen. It's the battle within our heart and in our mind. Actually, in the Greek, heart and mind are used synonymously. In other words, you can't differentiate between them. And you see, Satan's attacks are on our thought life. So every emotion that you feel and everything that you say and the way you act begins with one little thought. One little thought. Now, you say, Deb, are you going to take off your chains and your handcuffs? Well, no, because they've gotten to be normal. I don't know that I've got them on anymore because I'm used to wearing them. I'm used to acting certain ways. I'm used to speaking certain ways. I'm used to feeling certain ways. And I just live this way. Well, doesn't that get a little sore? With those handcuffs on? Oh, I'm used to it. Well, why don't you take them off? Because I know what to expect with these. I know what to expect with these. I don't know what life is like this. And so in my thought life, I think I would rather live in the bondage than live in the freedom. You see, the Lord says, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But this is not new, brothers and sisters. But you see, I have to look at this. You know, research shows that 99% of our mental activity is in our brain, is what we don't know. It's what is unconscious to us, that we are not aware of it. That's a little scary. And in doing that and in knowing that, then do you know why at any given moment you say and do the things that you say and do? You know, Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7, verse number 14 and 15. He said, I'm just confused. I don't understand. I want to do the things that are good, the things that the Lord wants me to do. But it's not the things that I'm doing. It's the things that I hate that I keep doing. Many people struggle with the addictions that they have. I know someone was saying, what is underneath your cloth up here. All right, I'll show you. You see, I've got various bottles here, Coke bottle, you know, a little couple of water bottles. You and I represent those bottles. Coke bottle's pretty full. Inside of us is our flesh nature and our spirit nature. The reason that we keep doing what we hate is because I'm full of me. I am full of me. Now, when we come to know Christ, there's just a little bit of room here for him to get in there. Little bit. So we wonder sometimes as Christians, again, remember I'm speaking about me, that I live more in my flesh than I do in the spirit, because I'm still full of me. Amen. Now, I am going to shake it, because life shakes us up. Doesn't it? The tone of voice someone uses, the way they speak to you, the way they act at you, those bills need to be paid, I don't have enough money, you get shook up. And then if I were to open this, which I will not to save the carpet, what's going to happen? Exactly right, it explodes. And I hate to say it, but what is on the inside comes spewing out on the outside. So what do you have inside of you? Is there more flesh? Or do you have less flesh and more room for Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Satan likes us when we're like this. Because remember, it started out with a little thought. Let me take you to, if you've got your Bibles, how many have your Bibles? Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, her favorite. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm starting at verse 13, James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So let's just kind of dissect that scripture, shall we, just a little bit? The word enticed, in other words, we each are drawn away. If you had a package of cigarettes up here on the platform or a bottle of Bud Light, if you had those things on here, there would be no temptation to me. My family is here, and if I have any addiction, I would say that it's probably food. I love it too much. So if you had a piece of chocolate cake up here, or maybe some chocolate chip cookies, homemade, of course, that I might be tempted. The word enticed in the Greek means to be baited. Satan knows how to bait us and hook us, and he knows the bait to use. And he rattles the chains, and we fall back into those chains, those patterns of life, of living. So when we are drawn away by our own weaknesses, things that we know that are weak for us, Satan uses that, gets that little link out, and God gets you to start thinking, you know, it's not that bad. You know, no one's at the churches even here. You're out of town. Who's going to see you? Who's going to see you, and what doesn't matter anyway? Again, does this just go on in my thought life, or do you hear that same kind of thing? It doesn't matter. You know, just once. What? You know, just once. I thought that God is a God of grace and mercy. And that he'll forgive you just once. It's not going to hurt anything. Just go right ahead. Mm-hmm. One little link. One thought. And as Christians, do we dwell on it? Or do we take it captive? Or do we try to live our Christian life in our own strength? I know that was a pastor kind of laugh. I had to do that at least once for him. Many people, including myself, have tried to live my Christian life in my own self-sufficiency. Amen. I've tried to work on being good enough. It's a free gift. He already loves us qualitatively just as we are. Nothing more, nothing less. He loves us on our bad hair days and on our good hair days. He knows when you and I are not going to think good thoughts. He knows when we are going to speak not good things. And he knows when we're going to act in not good ways. And the freeing thing about that is that he loves me no matter what. Amen. Now, I'm preaching a little bit better than you guys are getting excited here now. Chains. So you see, they begin with 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, where it says that there is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those hook us. Those hook us. Satan is doing his destroying us by our thought life. Because you see, when you hate, when you are bitter, when you are resentful, when you have anger, when you are frustrated, you set your body up in a toxic system. And we wonder why we get sick and stressed out. It's because of what we're dwelling on and what we're thinking. There are two types of emotions: faith-based emotions, which are love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, and there are fear-based emotions. What are the fear-based emotions? Well, I'm glad you asked. Fear-based emotions are those things that cause us to be afraid. I want you to like me. Fear can be, you know, fear, anger never travels alone. Anger and fear. Fear of failure. Satan is robbing up from us. Please hear this. John 10:10. He comes as a thief to rob, to steal, and to kill from us by causing us to dwell on that one little thought. Amen. That one little thought. Now you see, we create idols. We create reality by what we think. So let me share that with you again. You know, used to, in the Old Testament days, they would literally make their idols. And there was an idol for everything. An idol for fertility. An idol for wealth. An idol for health. An idol for matchmaking. Maybe I need that one. There was an idol for everything. Prosperity, Pastor talked about that. But you see, we now have become sophisticated, and our idols are formed right here. Our idols are formed in here. When you and I choose to believe things that aren't lined up with the Word of God, it becomes idolatry. It becomes idolatry. You see, the word for, the Greek word for truth is reality. The Greek word for truth is reality. So what we think, do you remember that scripture? There's something about that. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man or woman thinketh, so is he or she. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. What is coming out of you at any given time? Now, I know in my flesh, talking about my flesh, not yours, I do things, I don't know if you guys have ever done this. With God, I'll have a little pouting session. I don't understand this. What is going on? I'm your child. Why are you allowing all of this to happen to me? I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Now, I not only do that with God, but sometimes I do that in relationships. I pout. Or maybe I get the silent treatment, give you the silent treatment. Or maybe I use sarcasm. Maybe I'm sarcastic. Got awfully quiet in here. Or maybe you do this selective hearing thing. I only hear what I want to hear. I'll shut the rest of it out. Can you guys relate to any of this? Aha! Uh-huh. So, if you're full of you, you're going to think thoughts about you, and you're going to act in fleshly ways. Sin is work. This chain is getting pretty heavy. I'm wearing it for the purposes of this service. But these chains are pretty heavy, and so is sin. Amen. Wearing these day after day, year upon year, I might smack you with my chain. But the idea is that who am I full of? Me? Maybe a little bit full of the Lord, or maybe I've got enough room for a lot of the Lord. Amen. So Paul takes us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and he says to us in these last days, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." In other words, you don't win fights by "I'm right and you're wrong" perception. Where do arguments and fightings come? James chapter 4, verse 1 says, "They come because you want your own way and you don't get it." Ouch. I could have lived without that all day. Deb. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us the secret to breaking free of these things. Is for us to remember that the battle that we are in, which is an invisible battle, is not with each other. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Then why, as husbands and wives, do we argue? Oh, that's a normal thing, Deb. That's a normal thing. It's just two people being in the same house and living together. Well, every day I am with people. Now, granted, I don't live with those people. As a counselor, I am in my office and I see people every day. And I have to lay aside my agenda for what is theirs all the time. Because it is not about Debbie when they come to see me. It is about what they came to see me for. It is about what God wants to do through me in that moment. So it's me emptying myself out in those moments and letting the Lord just flow through me. Amen. So it's emptying ourselves out. So we wrestle. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds." So, cast down vain imaginations, thoughts. Oh, you're not good enough. There's no place for you in the church. You're a failure. Why would God love you anyway? You're nothing but a hypocrite. Who do you think you are? You don't matter anywhere, anyway. What can you offer to God anyway? You don't have any gifts, no talents. Thoughts. They create the reality. When we walk in the truth, when we speak the truth, we make God big in our lives. Thank you, Lord. When we walk in the flesh and we speak in the flesh, then we live in a fleshly reality. Those things that I just spoke were lies. Lies is not, well, actually, I came up with a new definition. Actually, I heard it from a televangelist. He said, lie is something that does not exist. A lie is something that does not exist. We are not failures. We are more than conquerors. Greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I've just got a little bit of the word in me. So we're to cast down thoughts, imaginations, that reality, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I left out a little section there. You see, our thought life has become so strong and so normal is that it's more powerful than God's word. So we wonder why we can't let go of the chains. It's because this is more powerful than God's word. And so I stay in the same cycles. I keep doing things the same old way because maybe I don't know how to change it. Maybe I'm afraid to change it. You see, your perception and my perception is not truth. It's not reality. But when we are in conversation and when we are relating to each other, what happens is, I think you're right, or I'm right and you're wrong. Right? Isn't that how it goes? Now again, I'm talking about me because I do this. So, how in these last days do we get rid of these chains? Again, it begins with a thought, right? Begins with a thought. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Philippians chapter 2. He emptied himself out completely and came as a bondservant. So he had plenty of room in being empty for the Holy Spirit to fill him. So in the Holy Spirit filling him, he had the power to do signs and wonders, raise people from the dead, that the blind eyes see and the ears, deaf ears hear, that the lame start walking. So we first got to recognize that I've got these chains. And you know what? All of us in this room have our assorted past. Amen. All of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. So none of us, we're all on the same playing field. I don't know about you, but I don't like thinking about myself as selfish. I want you to think that I'm a good person. That I would always think of your best intentions. Not, in and of myself, I'm selfish. Now, why is it that we don't want to look at that? We kind of go back to the Garden of Eden and we put on our fig leaves, cover it up. Ooh, I don't want you to see it. When we all act in those ways. We all run and hide. You know, how did you ever think how ridiculous that is when Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh, and he gets on a boat. The God of all creation, right? And he's thinking he could hide from him. But you know, we do the same thing in our own lives. Pastor speaking and, ooh, he touched on a subject. Is anybody looking? Well, I'm not going forward. I'm not going to deal with that. What will they think? Amen. Am I getting to the crux of the matter here? What will they think? Again, it all begins with my thoughts. You know, the word mind, it comes from the Greek word thinking through. We think way too much. We analyze way too much. What do we think we should do? What would be the good thing? Here's what I got to do. I think this is what will work. And we women are notorious for this. We want to fix it and take away all the pain and all the boo-boos and make everything all better. Now you men can say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we get a little bit too rambunctious in that way. And we take away the pain. And sometimes God uses the pain to change me. But we want to love people so much that we take away all the pain. And so they stay in their chains just a little bit longer. So, how many links do you have on your chain? How long have you been wearing it? You know, it once started out just as one link, just one little thought. Something that the Lord worked on me, has probably been working on me the last 3 or 4 months or 6 months, is that, one, Satan is going to do everything in his power to distract you. Distract you. What does distractions look like? Distractions are those things like my friend has cancer, or you know, your money's not stretching the way you don't have a job, you were watching and being careful. In my case, I wasn't being careful, and I had an accident. Now my car's got a fender bender, and I got to be honest with you, is that I didn't want people to look badly upon me because of my fender having a little boo-boo on the back of it. And so I thought, you know, I need to get rid of this car, even get rid of this car before I go home. Mom and Dad won't see it, and they won't ask me, what did you do? And then I won't have to say I wasn't paying attention or I was in my blind spot and go through all of that rigmarole. You guys know what I'm talking about? So the idea is Satan wants to distract us because he knows the power that you and I have in him to accomplish God's work in other people's lives. So he is going to do everything to distract you, get you to think those thoughts. What are you and I going to do in these last days with our thought life? What are we going to do? We're going to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now that's wonderful. But it's not a one-time deal. Once a day, it's every moment of every day making a choice to flow with the fruit of the Spirit. There's a difference why it's fruit of the Spirit and the work of the flesh. It takes work to live in the flesh. In the Spirit, it's a byproduct of His nature in me. So I don't have to worry about loving. It just flows out of me. I don't have to worry about being not peaceful unless I'm not keeping my mind. Isn't there another scripture that talks about that? That where if we keep our mind on Christ, then what? That he will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So you want to live peaceful? Think on Jesus. Amen. Not just once a day when you have your devotions, but every moment of the day. I should be doing this random checkoff list with Philippians 4:8 that says, have I got you baited? Do you know what that scripture says? 4:8. Think on things that are lovely and pure and true and virtuous and good report. If there be any virtue, then dwell and think on these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then he will add all the things that you and I need. So in these last days, we need to empty out ourselves of ourself. You see, we are the greatest idol there is. Ouch. Everybody said ouch with me together.
Ouch.
Good. And actually, Satan wants it that way because, you see, he is the epitome of everything being about him. And when he thinks that you're thinking those thoughts, when you think that you're thinking those thoughts instead of that he's putting those thoughts in your mind, then you don't fight him.
Amen.
You don't speak the word. So in these last days, how many of you have an iPhone or a smartphone or an iPad? Or a computer. I didn't see any hands. I wasn't looking over here. Okay. We have a little app store in here. You know, I can pull up and get whatever I want to get in this little app store. And, you know, when you find something that you like at an app store, if I'm talking about the phone, then you hit on it, and it says install free. I usually go for the free things. Then you hit free, and it says install. We need daily installations of God's word in our lives. We need to go to the app store of God's word and find the app on peace. Find the app on being anxious and fear not. Find the app on being powerful. Find the app on that he has a purpose and a destiny for me.
Amen.
Yeah. Install that into my spirit. For us as Christians, these are exciting days. It is time for us to get rid of self. Maybe halfway full. You know, living life, if you're half full, you know, you can shake me up or Satan can shake me up. And is it going to explode? It's not. So breaking free is getting rid of me.
Amen.
Is getting rid of me.
Thank you, Lord.
We have got, and I see it every day, we have got a world of hungry, thirsty people that are hurting. They don't need someone to judge them. They need someone to love them. They need someone to accept them just as they are, and for us to be the real, genuine deal. Not hiding anything, because let me tell you what, the world will, they're a con. They know a con when they see a con.
Amen.
And they can see if you're not real and if I'm not real.
Amen. That's right.
You know, we all have our blemishes. We all have our things that we don't like about ourselves. And if you listen to yourself, you'll find out whether it's self or whether it's God. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Many of us take things personally because someone said something, but it's not about me. It's about themselves. And then we get all hurt and offended. Again, if I'm hurt and offended, who am I full of? Myself. Paul, in closing here, Paul says that we're to crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Now, I'm a nurse, so this sounds a little weird, but just go with me for the sake of the illustration. If we had a dead person laying here on the altar, if I were to flick the bottom of their foot, is anything going to happen? Because why? They're dead. Woo! That was a big revelation, Deb. They're dead. So they're not going to respond. You get where I'm going here? Satan is symbolized as a serpent, as a snake. Do you know that snakes cannot live unless they have fresh flesh? So if Satan doesn't have any flesh to bite on, he has no power.
Amen.
He has no power over us. So, it's time to crucify the flesh. That it's no longer Debbie that you see up here, but it's Jesus Christ that you see up here.
Amen.
When the world, the reason that the church isn't of greater impact is because we need to realize who we have living inside of us. The greater is Jesus in us than he that's in the world. That he has placed in you his Holy Spirit, that you, and you may do works, mighty works. That when you pray for people, that blinded eyes are going to be opened. That deaf ears will hear. That the lame will walk.
Amen.
But again, as I say that, how many of your thoughts are coming up and say, not me. Whoa, it got pretty quiet.
Amen.
No. When his spirit lives in us, it's an explosion. Dunamis, that word dunamis that comes from dynamite. When Jesus lives in us, he becomes a powerful force that wants to come out. But when we are so in bondage to our chains, the things of our flesh, he cannot accomplish his work in us. As we end our service today, let's just make a decree together, shall we? That I will
guard
my heart and my mind. That I will think on things above and not on things of this world. That I will be more than a conqueror because of Jesus Christ that lives in me. That I will take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that every moment of every day, I will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.